Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I did something today that I've almost never done, which is went to a Taco Bell.
Ooh, how you feeling?
Not great.
You have to build up a tolerance.
And I was in bed. I wasn't even napping. I need to be in bed for
you
about an hour.
You have to build up a tolerance to that, I think.
Yeah.
What did you get at the Taco Bell, Alex?
I got a number 3 combo, which is a burrito supreme with a crunchy taco.
Oh, yeah, like comes with a taco, yeah.
And a drink. And the drink is just massive, which is why I'm going to go pour a rum and Coke with it, because I don't know what to do with all this extra soda. I don't drink soda at all. Yeah. And it's like, here's 48 ounces of soda.
Yeah, here's a gallon. Yeah, yeah.
It's way too much.
That's my 8-month intake of soda right there.
They don't
there.
Mess around, yeah.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly, for your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and I have beehives in my walls, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Lucky Jimbo.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Okay, I'm just walking into this. You might understand there's a beehive in the wall.
Wow, nice.
You think I have a machine for measuring beehives?
That feels like a first.
Oh, that you've... That title we have, has been the drop?
Yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah, could
maybe.
Be. I'm sure we've done it
before. I'm sure we've done it before. I'm sure we've done it before.
It's kismet.
That season 9 Toby, man, he's looking
frail.
He's just looking
yeah.
patched together. Yeah.
Toby, how are you not murdered every hour? Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll jump into our main topic, and after that we'll move to the conference room for a short segment, and then we'll finish up with trivia from a listener. But this week's episode is all about Work Bus. Work Bus, Season 9, Episode 4, written by Brent Forrester, directed by Bryan Cranston.
Wow.
Yeah.
The man himself.
I am the one who directs.
That's why this episode has such a Breaking Bad / Malcolm in the Middle vibe. It aired on October.
Those two shows are generally, you can always use them interchangeably.
It aired on October 18th, 2012. Edwin, why did you pick Work Bus for this episode this week?
Well, it made sense. The last few single episodes that we've done have been email surveillance and basketball. So very early in the show. And I thought maybe we'd talk about something a little later in the run. And then also within our own lives, I'm moving. You're working a lot. It's just a busy time for all of us. And so it felt like a good episode to kind of capture that energy of trying to work, moving things around. Yeah, yeah.
Trying to record this show in the last few weeks has been like being on the work bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of our schedules seem to be perfectly incompatible right now.
Yeah. But, fans of last week's episode will be happy to know that it is 9 o'clock and we are just getting this thing started. So
I just poured a way too strong rum and Coke here, or rather a Sailor Jerry and Pepsi is what it actually is.
Fans of classic pizza will be impressed.
We'll be psyched.
Let's dive into work
quick,
bus.
Quick
though.
Announcement. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Before we get on board the bus, just a quick update on our wonderful Scott's Tots and our Patreon. If you haven't joined, now is a great time. I'm actually finally have had the time and been able to start uploading all of our old episodes without any ads in them. That includes the live reads we do. That includes the ads that are inserted, all that stuff. So if you liked the charm of our show because it had no ads and it was free, well, tough. But you can now get the same show on Patreon, and you get access to all those episodes and, of course, our monthly exclusive mailbag episodes as well. So there's actually a lot. There's finally some more stuff on there for you. And if you hate ads, then come on board. Jump in the tot basket.
The deal. It's fine. The deal just keeps getting better. Just keeps getting sweeter.
We have some bonus. We had our mailbag episodes and some bonus draft episodes if you missed those. Mm-hmm. And if you've run through our whole library and you're like, I need more, we got like 20 episodes just sitting on there for you.
So check it out. You join us on there.
And newly released episodes. This episode you're hearing now, they will also be coming out every week ad-free from here on out. So there you go.
So check us out, patreon.com/MichaelScott. Let's dive into Work Bus. So is this episode Andy at his absolute worst?
I mean,
I don't think so, but it's close.
What has he done that's worse than, like, be so cruel to Nelly as she's trying to adopt?
I mean, this is really bad, but it's not pooping on a car or...
Yeah,
you know, not owning up to being gone for several weeks. This was pretty terrible, but
he put fail. He stamped fail on a dead man's face. It's like in a video.
You know what? Thinking about
that one really made me laugh. That one.
Thinking about
Andy
actually,
got me with that one.
The fact that it's like an adoption thing. Maybe this is Andy at his worst. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Nelly's been, I think, thoroughly, you know, shamed by the rest of the office, and certainly by Andy, who, by the way, deserves everything. Like, that no one likes Andy anymore, and they shouldn't, because mm-hmm. he's just terrible now. And yeah, the fact that I mean, we're already getting way into this the Nelly Andy story, which is not a combo you see often.
Jumping
on the show.
Right in,
yeah. But it's just he calls it. He's in a word, dong water. That's what he calls. Like her application. I mean, come on, man. Like, I don't know. She's trying to have a kid. I agree. She's probably, it's a tough sell for her to like get a kid, but dude, stop.
She's like, I want to adopt a baby. He's like, a human baby?
Yeah. A human baby. Yeah. That's just terrible. That's just so condescending.
Nelly went pretty hard at Andy in season 8. When she came back and took his job, and Andy was pretty much humiliated in front of the rest of the office. But yeah, Andy definitely savors his revenge a bit too much, you know?
I mean, this is only episode 4 of season 9. So like going back and I got through almost all of this episode before we had to start recording, but like this could very well be the moment that I was just like, I'm so done with Andy's character. Like this is, because I mean, he already opened up this season being mean, this was like a point of no return for me. I think
one of the reasons that I like this, I really like this episode overall, and I think part of the reason that I like this one so much and was kind of gravitated towards it is because it's early enough in season 9 that we're not too far into Jim and Pam, we're not too far into Andy being terrible yet. There's like, we're not near the end of Dwight and Angela's resolution yet. Dwight is still kind of reckoning with his need for children or want for children. Yes. is a theme in this episode. Like there's
his gaping hole in his life.
Yeah. Sometimes he wakes up cradling a gourd. Maybe he can replace it with a pie after this episode, but, but yeah, it's early enough in season 9 that we're not too far into all the storylines that they have to wrap up by the end of the season. So I do like it for that. And Andy and Nelly is a little bit of that. It also,
Go ahead.
Sorry, last thing. It is a little bit of a seed for Aaron and Andy splitting. It's another you know, another thing that contributes to that. But go ahead, Alex.
The seed that splits the nut. I think the I would wager that most of our listeners, like, when you think of season 9, a few, like, a couple images flash through your head. And for me, like, work bus immediately is like, oh, season 9, that's like work bus and Andy gets weird and there's the weird Jim Pam storyline. Like, those are the generally the things I think about, because this episode does have some very interesting action sequences in it, in a way. Physically, I mean, talk about a sandbox episode. They're jamming people together, even closer than they already are in the office, you know, which is not a giant office by any means. But to put all the characters in this, like, little box is great. And I mean, I think to prove that, we shared this a long time ago on socials, but Edwin had, from this episode, has a screenshot of the hashtag, you know, accidental renaissance.
There's
a frame. Yeah, there's just so much going. That's there's a frame in this episode that's just this beautiful image when they're looking up through the skylight of the bus. A lot of different levels they're exploring in this episode. A lot of different, like, they're moving. There's people on top. It's great.
I love the way that they play with the bus. I love the way that, like, they play with, you know, setting up the office and the bus, especially, like, just Aaron put, like, taping down the bowl of candy or something.
Yeah, such a bad idea. You know? On a bowl on a pole.
But it's brilliant. I almost wish there was more of people bringing, like, their decor into the bus.
Yeah, this trying to make their desks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of this hallmark, like, in season 9, they have this cutscene early on where they sort of have, like, all these instances of things that would happen on a work bus, like, right after another, and then they kind of move on with the plots. Mm-hmm. Versus, I feel like if you did this episode, like, season 2, there would always be a breath throughout where, like, you just see someone, whoops, excuse me, and bump into each other, like, spill a little bit of coffee on the bus or something. They kind of hit all those really fast of, like, here it is, they're on the bus, it's funny, here's some stuff that's happening, all right, let's start moving.
I mean, it's definitely one of the problems is the wrong word, but it's something about season 9 where it's just, you know, all these characters are so developed that they kind of have to get, everyone's kind of got to get a little attention every episode, and that's where it can just feel a bit exhausting for me. There's, you know, there's not, like you said, a beat or a breath in between the jokes. You just keep going. But I guess, and I'm jumping around here, but I...
Hey, it's late, man. The wheels are off.
We beat our record by a whole 15 minutes from last week.
Steering wheel is flying off the handle, man.
There's certain parts of this episode that I really enjoyed that are like, you know, scenes between people that you wouldn't. I mean, Toby, Aaron, and Dwight doing their little, like, testing early in the episode is so funny to me. I like to see those three together working together to find all the spots where there's you know, in uninsulated wires in the walls.
Jim pops one kernel.
Right.
Go ahead, Edwin.
The beauty of this of season 9 and a later episode run is that you can create pairings like that and create new funny situations. For example, Clark and Daryl, which happens a couple of times in this episode. I think one of the things that is very strong in this episode, and we've alluded to it in, I believe, last week's episode, email surveillance, and maybe even the basketball episode as well, is that you can take all of these storylines and have them happen in the same physical location. Like, that helps the episode quite a bit versus having all these characters spread out all over wherever they are in Scranton. You know, it's called The Office, so they're in The Office, whether that's the basketball court, the squash court, or the Supreme Court. But seriously, that you can have all these things play out in the bus, I think is a strength for this particular episode.
There's a lot of power struggles happening in this episode overall. Dwight as the property manager versus this office, him as an employee versus a landlord, as he stipulates at the very beginning that he is a landlord. He is initially dismissive of this electromagnetic radiation, yada yada yada. Jim wisely brings up infertility. Dwight moves a mouse pad over him, thinks that's good. Jim pulls the single kernel trick, very nicely done. And he has to get this temporary workspace. Now, of course, we know Jim is, this whole thing is because he's just trying to get a week off for Pam. That's what she wants. She sort of offhandedly is like, a week off would be nice. Jim makes it his goal right now. The whole reason Jim's doing this is because of this need to feel like Pam is doing him a favor by being cool with Athlete, right? Like that's how this episode starts. Like, she was so unbelievably cool. I finally told her about Athlete, and I don't quite get it. It doesn't seem that healthy of a thing to be like, now I need to treat her like a princess all the time because she's okay with something I want in my
life. No, it's 100% not. And especially because the first thing that he says is, I want to do something special for her. I wish we were at like a biker bar and she mouthed off to some biker and then I like knock his lights out or something. And it's like, that's not why, how is that a special thing to do for Stella?
Yeah, that's not what would happen. Jim would be at the biker bar and they'd be about to get into a fight and then Dwight would pepper spray the biker.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
But we also
get your foot behind the yellow line.
I loved that. Yeah, great moment.
Dwight, a lot of good additions to the heckling board from this episode. So be on your best behavior, gents.
That was Dwight utilizing whatever power he's got. Get your foot behind the yellow line. Whatever small bit of authority he has, he will enforce it over Jim.
Yeah,
I think also. I mean, to tag off what you were talking about, Jim thinks in romantic gestures.
Yeah,
he's always trying to think of, well, now that he's like, how can I make it up to you? I have to do something big, which isn't really, it doesn't help. It solves the problem for the purpose of this episode. But obviously, Jim and Pam have a lot more to work out over the rest of the season. One thing that I like about this episode is that how contained it is and how there is an element of resolution, at least, where, you know, they're sitting eating pie together at the end of the episode, which is nice.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. That kind of goes back to what I'm saying about the power struggles is you have this like Jim Pam. Well, I don't know why it's a weird power struggle, but it feels that way a little bit of like Jim's like groveling a little bit trying to get this for Pam. Dwight is his power is struggling. You have Nellie and Andy are kind of in this thing. This weird back. Andy's trying to like flex on Nellie and it's really weird. It's like, all right, dude, you're the manager again. And it's all happening in this really fast paced environment. And, you know, all without, of course, Clark and Daryl, who are like,
I mean,
don't go.
You've got a power struggle. You've got a power struggle with Clark and Daryl. Well, Daryl is trying to get Clark to teach him PowerPoint.
Oh, right.
And I thought it was
tutorial,
funny.
Man.
The second time this season where Clark has been compared to a thing. Where's the Quiznos? You're the Quiznos. Just read the tutorial. You're the tutorial. The other power struggle, of course, is the electromagnetic radiation struggling through the building.
Dwight takes action. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there's also the power struggle of Creed wanting to be free.
Playing a little hooky from work today.
Just had a drop. Whatever.
That is so incredible.
I like how...
The pork pie hat. It's just the perfect Creed.
I like how they do remove Daryl and Clark from this episode because there are so many, like you said, there are so many plot lines that kind of have to get resolved. Mm-hmm. And everyone who kind of has a piece in the rest of this episode is still in the bus, but Daryl and Clark, they've played their part in the episode and they can just kind of sit back. It's kind of like Toby when they all go down to the warehouse and Toby doesn't go with them and puts the finger up to be quiet to the camera.
And so, Toby also wants to go to beach games, but it's not allowed.
The opposite of that, exactly, yeah. But it's beach day, yeah.
It's got the huge thing of sunscreen.
The power struggle as well, I mean, Jim and Dwight is, there's an element of that feels the most upfront kind of struggle between Jim and Dwight where Jim and Dwight are sitting face to face. And Dwight says, Jim says, can't we take this somewhere? And Dwight says, no, I'm not going to spend my gas money on this. And Jim, making eye contact with Dwight, says, Andy, don't you think everyone would be more motivated if we were going to maybe the best rural pie stand in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of it goes back and forth. And to the point where Dwight says, you win. We've been battling for years. You're the alpha male. Buy your wife a pie. Alpha male, buy the world a pie.
I know. But it does go back and forth. One of my favorite lines from this whole episode is when the bus breaks down and Dwight is smugly like kind of a what I told you, Jim, like I didn't want to move this bus. And he says, what can I say? I love justice. You forced me to spend money on needless repairs. And now you're locked in a prison bus and your woman drips with beverage.
Your woman drips with beverage, dude.
Yeah. That's it.
There's so gross.
There's some beautifully written lines in this one, too. The way that Andy keeps stalling so that Nellie can't finish her sentences. What You have 1 minute, and your minute has begun, and no time will be added at the end, even to accommodate this sentence with all of its Baroque dependent clauses and cascading turns of phrase.
I also
Andy to do Nate's job there.
Andy also has like an IKEA shower curtain as the prop for his office that is like, the door. I say this because I'm pretty sure I had that shower curtain in college.
I was gonna say
we all did.
It stands out with the way that most props kind of blend into the background. That one really stood out to me.
One other gross/funny Dwight Jim moment is when Jim's talking to Dwight about like sometimes it takes a while to conceive. How long did it take you and Pam to conceive? Well, that's not really. What position did you use to conceive? Okay, that regular lady on her back. You used lady on her back, didn't you? You freak! Yuck! Gross!
Oh my god! Regular,
the most
lady on
shrewd thing. Yeah. Regular lady on her back.
Yeah.
You freak.
Building kinder.
Doesn't Dwight have a line about how it's not normal for animals to make eye contact when they're making love or something?
It happens like, when he's litigating with Angela.
Yes, yeah. The love contract.
It's gross. So all this is sort of leading to this destination of for getting some pies, right?
Laverne's pies, tires fixed also.
There you go. and they're all to go get these little. They're like little hand pies, I guess.
No, I think they're actual pies. I always thought they were full pies.
That was one thing rewatching. I was like, why are Jim and Pam going to buy so many pies? Do they freeze them? What?
Maybe. I don't know. I that's how I always thought of it. It's just an actual pie because it seems like they're eating slices when they are eating at the end.
Well, in Portland, we have a place called the Pie Spot, and they have little pies. Little pies.
I don't even know about this.
What?
Tell me about it.
Dude, it's delicious.
What's the pie?
Like, imagine like a regular pie, but little.
They're little. There's like, I think one of my favorites is like a s'mores pie.
Oh, you would, you freak. What? Where is this place?
There's
Hawthorne,
one.
Is it not?
No, there's one on Gleason, and
bringing it back. Do you agree
Gleason
with
Gleason and
yeah. Hold on, I'm gonna get it.
Gleason and you know, it's by Pollo Norte.
This is good.
And,
this is
and
good.
Migration.
Great Gleason podcast and, content is calling out cross streets in Portland. Yeah.
No, only one cross street.
Yeah.
Trying to think of the other.
Just like, the street.
Like, you know where Sandy intersects with... Okay, but before we go to the cold open, because we should talk about the cold open, how do you guys feel about Jim and Pam's proposed dozen? 4 apple, 4 blueberry, 2 cherry, 1 peach, 1 chocolate.
0 apple.
Whoa.
For you, 0 apple.
No.
Whoa. What are you, a communist?
I don't like
no apple pie.
No apple pie.
You'll be lucky to get pumpkin at this point.
I just want 12 Marionberry pies.
You are a weirdo. You want 12 Marionberry pies.
Also regional.
I'm assuming I have to have 12. Otherwise, I would just take one.
I don't know. I'm just curious about how you guys felt about the breakdown. I thought it was a pretty reasonable breakdown.
Sure. I guess they don't do any savory pies there, do they? Probably just the dessert pies.
Look, like she's already fixing the tires, man.
She's like, I don't do savory. It's sweet. Come on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, savory pies,
like,
Sean.
Like a meat pie, like a chicken.
Yeah, you ever
pie.
Been to the pie spot, dude? Look at the menu. It's on Gleason and like 40.
If I wanted a savory meat pie, I'd go to Pacific Pie Company. That's
okay.
Over on 7th and Burnside.
Oh. Okay. I'll check it out. 7th and Burnside. Nice.
It's an Australian pie place. All right. I guess we better move on.
Gillis, please. Yes.
Boy, I will hammer spank your rear.
A great pull, a great drop. Hey, it's not Clark's fault. He has to get up every few hours.
What the hell, Jim? I cover for your bony butt.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But Andy opens the episode by showing his fail video. Really timestamps this episode, the fail video.
What an awful cold open this is. I hate really? It. Except the little fail of the Jerry in the warehouse did make me laugh pretty hard.
It's so dark.
I love the way that Andy falls with the Gatorade, I think, is one of the funnier physical comedy moments in the whole show.
That's a really good. Yeah, that's actually really good.
That's okay. I see that. I enjoy the part where people are like, where Daryl's like, that was a triple. Like, people are like, I genuinely did a good job. Like, this isn't, like, you can't even make fun of me.
Another reason why I thought this would be a good episode for this week was last week when we posted on Instagram that our episode would be coming out a little later than usual.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Christina, sent us a image, or just a gift that was like, congratulations on your epic fail.
Oh, my God.
Which was really funny. It made me laugh quite a bit. But
damn, we got trolled.
Yeah. Love getting flamed
but
by the
just,
fans.
Just Andy just falling backwards and just getting doused in the face with the Gatorade. And then everyone chanting, fail, 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 and running him out of the room. I love it. That makes me laugh quite a bit.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Little bit of the Michael Scott school of videos there with Andy, but took it to the next level. He had a little extra stuff in there. I don't think Michael would have made it. Michael would have made a genuinely heartwarming video about the softball team.
I wish we could have seen highlights. More of the softball team, just generally speaking, like what happens in that.
Yeah.
Could we have an episode that's just softball and that it goes through a game and, you know, some people bring snacks and then afterwards they go to Poor Richard's. You know, how great would that be?
A great time. Yeah. That'd be a great hangout.
Phyllis, why are you sitting on the ground?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is funny that they didn't just say, well... That is kind of funny that if they didn't... They were like, oh, we came up with an idea for a cold open where he's playing this, you know, video of a softball game. It's like, well, if we got to get everyone in a softball costume and go to a park and shoot all these bits, why don't we just make a softball episode and then he can do the video the episode after? So, you know, come on, production. But think outside the box.
Andy's come a long way. Andy's come a long way from knowing that baseball is a lot like cricket. Making a video recapping the highlights of the softball team. Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, some shows they do a certain episode every season. A lot of comedies do this. I'm thinking Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they do the heist every Halloween.
Oh yeah.
Between, you know, like, or Community's done this.
The paintball.
Rick and Morty does the interdimensional cable.
Oh, you know,
or something akin to that every season. That would have been fun if The Office, they do a different, like, they had basketball season one. They already have volleyball in season five with Company Picnic. They could have called it that. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have had a sports thing. Yeah, they could have had a softball one. They could have had a couple other things.
Christmas is a little like that, but it's not exactly the same. It's not like, you know, it's not as ceremonial.
A lot of shows do Christmas stuff, but it would be fun if they specifically did a sports-based episode every season.
Mm-hmm.
But hey.
You want to play some soccer?
There you go. I'm not running the show.
Yeah, they had that soccer episode.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Volleyball.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But as we get to, cool. I think the other piece of this is we have Kevin, who can only do math with pies.
Mm-hmm.
And as Andy said, the fat people have spoken, I think he says.
It's Rain Man with the pies.
Yeah, and then at the end, he gets Oscar to make it rain pie all over his face with the, I insult you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And he just stands up and celebrates to the camera. I like how it was just about getting that one little thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes. Oscar, and that's it. With his tie slung over his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. Oscar and Kevin. Like, for how much we don't like season 9, or especially Andy in season 9, or the, like, Oscar and Kevin are season 9 are actually pretty good. Kevin, like I say, gets really cartoony, but there's also, like, what's great is, and there's a good example in WorkBus, actually, which is when they're doing the roll call thing, and it gets to Kevin, and he just fails. He just rhymes, my name is Kevin, because my name is Kevin. Yeah, but no one's like, no one's like, Kevin, like, no one gives him a look. Everyone's like, yeah, roll call, and they keep going. They're just like, this is Kevin, and we like him. And it's great.
I mean, he did his part. He just, he lived into the rhythm, you know? Like, he didn't stop the song.
He hit the beats, and he moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. Good job, Kevin. Proud of you, bud.
I guess, and then we get one thing that I noticed too was obviously so with Andy and Nelly.
It's just nice to win one.
after Nelly is turned down by Andy, Andy goes and thinks that it's Nelly crying, but it turns out to be Aaron. And it's Pete who is there to look up and say, "I don't think that's it. I don't think that's Nelly." So. Pete is the one. Maybe it doesn't really foreshadow what them coming like together later
Aaron
in the show.
And Pete getting together,
but it is a little bit of Pete as new Jim, like delivering these kind of those kinds of statements, you know, to the manager.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's hard kind of impactful.
It's hard to go back and watch Pete after watching White Lotus.
I was just going to say that it's changed season 9 forever.
That character. Yeah,
I know you haven't seen it yet, Edwin.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Okay, what are you doing later? What are you doing after this?
How come you haven't watched it?
I am
pounding White Lotus,
listening to Flying Lotus.
listen to Flying Lotus while drinking White Claws, watching White Lotus, and you're gonna have yourself a nice night.
It syncs up just like Pink Floyd in the Wizard of Oz.
And where should I do that, on like 12th and Division? You think like?
Division and like.
Hyperlocal.
Yeah. When's the last guy you guys been to Dots? It's like Clinton in like 21st.
But anyway. It's just like it's a little button on the end of it that you get Pete in there as in that moment. Where you don't need Clark and Daryl, you do need Pete.
Yeah.
That moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Pete, who at the beginning of the episode, Andy captions with puberty is a drag. puberty is hard. Yeah.
What is Clark's one? He's
I like to eat toilet paper.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, work.
Well, what are your any other favorite moments that we didn't get to? Favorite lines?
I like when Jim and Dwight are sitting up on top of the bus. I love Bill and Kinda.
Yeah.
And I love when Jim tries to say it, Dwight corrects him. Bill and Kinda. And then he says, wow, you filled my building with dangerous electromagnetic radiation as a prank. Congratulations. That's the best prank you ever played. And Jim just says, I'll take it. Well, actually, no, I'll take it. Yeah.
I mean, that moment on the roof is nice. I mean, there's a lot of good Jim Dwight moments throughout the show. And I do love it when they sort of, like, even these times, it's almost like Dwight knows that Jim is, like, tricking him, but the way like Jim is like, look, there's only one guy who, like, we're dangerously close to not getting pie, and there's only one guy who can save them. It's not me. Like, that is the ultimate pull. That's the ultimate card you can play for Dwight. Is like,
you have look, to save man, them.
Mm-hmm. So we need a hero, and it's not me. I mean, he even does this with being a best man at his wedding, and you know, like, he pulls that again on Dwight. Mm-hmm. It makes it Michael. He just Jim knows when to play that card, and it works out. They get the pie. You know, the stakes aren't quite as high as I think the episode sets it up to be with them getting pie. And like I say, even with Pam, and she finally gets her pie. And
well, okay. So I think one thing that is unique about this moment is Dwight is really upfront with Jim. He says, I'm barren, Jim. he opens up to Jim very directly. Where before, like, Dwight is crying in the stairwell and Jim approaches him.
Dwight is so good at using just words and phrases that are like 50 years behind.
Yeah. My trouser hives are void of honey.
Trouser hives.
So much hive talk.
Yeah. And then when Jim does inspire him to get off the roof and go back into the bus, he grabs Pam and he says, "Don't worry, sweetie, we're gonna get you that rhubarb pie." And then Pam says, "That's actually the one pie that I don't want."
Yeah, I mean, we've talked before about, like, of course, like, it's everybody who listens to the show knows I'm a bit of a cynic and I don't like the cheesy parts of the show, but you know, Jim and Dwight coming together at the very end of the show is totally earned in my mind.
Yes,
and it's,
I agree.
And I think it's because of episodes like this doing that legwork. And that, you know, and that we don't...
Can't skip leg day.
And that these moments are few and far between. Like, they don't really beat us over the head with, like, this season, Jim and Dwight are going to be friends and finally respect each other. Like, it's just like, you know, we just get little tastes of it.
I love that NBC promo, though. So good. This season, Jim and Dwight are friends.
People let me tell you about my best friend. And then they would have, like, a series of...
Gonna flip you!
What are you revving up? When Jim and Dwight come together, they're a powerful team. As a sales team, in a moment like this, they can make that last leg, make that last.
They're
bit
tall,
of the
basketball
they're
wise. Tall. Good two man.
Yeah,
game.
That's true. Yeah, Dwight making hustle plays, and Jim is doing the scoring.
Yeah,
I feel like, and you know, in terms of like relationships growing, I don't know. I'm glad that. You know, Jim got the pies for Pam, but like he didn't really like that. Certainly that damage control wasn't really done. Right. He wanted to really make it up to Pam about kind of lying to her about athlete. And I would say that he only just like was able to make up for not being able to get her a week off of work. Like
at a
he
certain
could deliver
point,
on one thing.
You can't just throw pies at the problem. It doesn't solve it.
That I think, you know what? That's it. That's all there is to say about it. Mm-hmm. There you have it. Work bus.
We should mention, to be fair to Andy, he does come around.
Yeah.
The thing for Nelly. And
fine.
And he says, "I changed my mind," gives it. "You signed it." He says, "Not as is. Obviously, I made a few changes. Trust me, it needed it." And he does it. And then Nelly reads it back to the camera. She's tough in business, but tender with the people she cares about. She'll make a wonderful mother to any child who can overlook weird accents.
Yeah, once again, the sense of resolution we get in this
episode. Bloody horrendous, isn't it?
You call that a King James breakfast pie. Yeah, there's enough resolution in this episode that is very satisfying, I think, within... all the different runs in season 9 that I think really makes it stand out to me.
Well, there.
Sorry, wow, Anne just walked up and put this little number in front of my face.
Some food.
Boys, some beans, some rice.
Wow.
Look at these pot stickers. Oh, baby. Oh.
Very nice. Well,
I haven't eaten in a while because we had to record this.
The savory pie.
Well, then let's take a short break. And let Alex have a bite, and we'll be right back with Conference Room.
When SimpliSafe Home Security's founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, designed their first security system in their kitchen, they did it for a very personal reason. Their friends had just had their home broken into. They were struggling to find a security system that was simple to set up and would make them feel safe again. This is something that I experienced in college. I was living with Sean at the time, and we had kind of an instance where someone broke into our house, and it really shook us up, and home security is not something that we should take for granted. You should look into for yourself. Making people feel safe is what SimpliSafe has been doing ever since that moment 15 years ago. That's with Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, not me and Sean in college. A passion to protect people not only drives every engineering detail in its products, but it motivates every interaction with its customers. And the thing is, SimpliSafe just makes it so easy. It takes about 2 minutes to customize the system on their website, simplisafe.com/Scott. SimpliSafe has highly trained security experts ready whenever you need them, whether it's during a fire, a burglary, a medical emergency, or even just when you're setting up the system. Or maybe it's a fire that Dwight has set up to test everyone's security preparedness. There's always someone who has your back to keep you safe and make sure that you feel safe. As our listeners, you can save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system and get your first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. Just visit simplysafe.com/Scott to customize your system and start protecting your home and family. At simplysafe.com/Scott. Jim, you really think this is a good idea, huh? Hide a key rock?
Conference room. 10 seconds. All of you.
All right, for conference room this week, this will be a quick hitter. We were going to try to do our own version of Shibuya Roll Call. So we're going to try this out, and we'll see if it works at all.
Yeah, this is what they do when they all get rolling on the bus, yeah. And it goes like,
Shibuya Roll Call. My name is Edwin.
Yeah.
I run this game.
Yeah.
I'm never losing.
Yeah.
Winning's in the name.
Roll call.
Shibuya roll call.
My name is Alex.
Yeah.
And I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
And over the pandemic.
Yeah.
I got a little hefty.
Yeah. Roll call.
Shibuya. Shibuya. Shibuya roll call.
My name is Sean.
Yeah.
I hate cheesy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like eating cheese.
Yeah.
That was a little rough.
Roll call.
Okay. I thought that went really well.
Okay. Roll call. Oh. All right.
All right.
Failing right now. Congratulations on your epic tale of the use of the word fail.
Have fun editing that together. That's going to be that'll be a treat.
Who knows? Who knows what powers I will choose to use?
I never know what's going in. So yeah.
I know. You got to treat me right here.
I know. Yeah.
Mostly.
Boy, I will hammer spank your rear.
That's a fantastic
hammer spank.
Yeah. That is an all timer
hammer spank. Yeah, it's okay. Really good. Getting a Clark Stanley confrontation is just that's like the heaviest head heavyweight and the lightest lightweight. It's so funny, those two.
Well, it's like in Staremageddon where Clark says, "Can I leave before you're about to do whatever you're going to do?" And he just hits him with the tranquilizer, and all of us, and Clark is just in it. Yeah,
he just takes a few. That's amazing.
He is the Quiznos after all.
He is. All right. Do you have some trivia for us? Finish this.
This GD episode
coming up. We're coming up on 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
Here we go, but we're gonna get this done within the hour. So here we go.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right. So this week's trivia comes to us from Amanda. Hey guys, love the pod. Here's some quick random trivia for you. Thanks.
Love it. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda.
What is Andy's Wi-Fi password?
Eat, pray, love.
Correct. What word does Michael put on the Scrabble board to end Jim's game?
No scrub.
Oh, it's like no scrubs.
Yeah, no scrub. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. You
and
guys
Bingo
well.
Was his name.
That's the funniest thing. I like that he's like, I need to talk, but I understand what you're doing. I'll help you end this, and then we'll move on.
And then Creed so says, funny. Challenge.
Yeah.
Instead of Creed... What is written on Robert California's list of names?
Old man.
Correct. What college did Toby attend?
Temple.
No. He went to California, right?
California
something.
California Coastal College.
California Coastal College, the CCC.
Wonder if that's real. That sounds fake.
Probably not.
What is Andy's companion piece to the vagina monologues?
The penis apologies.
Penis apologies.
Yes. What was Todd Packer's rock bottom?
DUI?
No.
No, it's not bottom enough for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm guessing knowing Packer, he probably banged.
Oh, he had like three different sets of clothing at three different women's houses or something?
Alex is onto it. It was having sex with Meredith.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Cutest redhead in the office.
Two more questions for you guys. PowerPoint is the blank of the business world. All show, no meat.
Oh.
I'm guessing Dwight
says it. It's, oh, my God. I can't think of it.
What's a bird that's all show, no meat? Parrots?
What's the showiest bird?
Ostrich.
A peacock.
Yes, ding, ding, ding.
That's a peacock. Oh, it's a peacock.
Nice. All right, and finally, this is definitely one we've done before. What is Hank's last name?
Tate.
Tate.
Nice. There it is. Tate.
Good job, boys.
Me in the blues.
And great job, Amanda. That was a great...
Me in the blues. That's a good drop. That's a fun drop.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for sending in trivia. If you would like to send in trivia and try to stump these guys, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a message, 503-694-9314. We like to play the messages on the show sometimes. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com, and we're on Patreon, patreon.com/michaelscott. Join us on there. Become a Scott's Tot for $5 a month. Support the show. And also just be a part of that community. You get now you're
monthly
gonna
get mailbag episodes. You get ad free episodes. All that stuff.
All
you get
that
uncut
stuff.
Pure apps and access to all of our old mailbag and bonus episodes.
Exactly. You ask us a question on Patreon, it's gonna get answered. So
that might change soon because we're getting to the point where the amount of questions is
which
almost
is,
unsustainable.
Which is so
which
awesome.
Is great.
Which is so awesome. I think
which
it's
is great.
I think
we just have to, we'll have to do two episodes.
We have to do two, or we might not do questions that we've done before, because we do get some that we've done before.
So but please join us on there. We also like to use a portion of those funds to make a donation to the Thurgood mm-hmm. Marshall College Fund. Special thanks to all of our Patreon members. We love you guys. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who designs all of our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon, over video chat.
Really quick, do you guys want the total of our donations so far?
Yeah, let's do that.
Lifetime.
To date, we have donated about $3,200.
Hey,
just
dang.
Through our Patreon to the Thurgood nice. Marshall College Fund, which provides scholarships and financial assistance to minority students all around the country. So Scott's Tots mission going live. $3,200, guys. That's not shabby.
Yeah, that's like an entire class of kids, full tuition.
Yeah.
For 4 years. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. We did.
And that's over time, too. I mean, our Patreon started small, you know?
So. Yeah, that's like,
big
I
time.
Mean, we're, yeah.
But,
it's,
no,
it's
that's
been
insane.
A snail's pace.
It's, but, a great, it's yeah. great. And you know what else? One day we will catch up to Team LeBron from the All-Star game.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. It was like, in one quarter, we raised $350,000. You're just like, oh, no.
And we made this joke before, but the equivalent is that they're the college tuition and we're the lithium batteries.
Yeah.
We're lithium.
Yeah. Hey, LeBron, we'll chip in two textbooks.
Mm-hmm. Although maybe it's compared to our basketball skill.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Relative to what he earns and what he gave, relative to what we earned on the show and gave, we have done way more than LeBron.
Hey, it's a great. One day we'll catch up to Team LeBron. But anyway, again, thank you for supporting us, and thank you for allowing us to, you know, give money to a good cause. It really helps. It's motivating for us to do our show that we can use our, you know, use this to generate money to donate. So that mm-hmm. that's really fantastic. And of course, thank you for listening. I really want to say thank you for staying up with us, even though this is not live.
Yeah, you guys could listen to this whenever.
Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for listening every week. It means the world to us that we can just kind of hang out and that. You guys will listen and interact with us and send us questions and trivia and everything. Support us on Patreon. It is truly, truly amazing. And it makes doing the show so much fun. It's a joy. I look forward to doing it every week, even when our schedules are tough. But it's really fun. And just know that we love and appreciate you. So take care. Stay safe. See you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the sabbath.
Yes, sir.
Tires fixed also.
Shibuya roll call.
My name is Kevin.
Yeah.
That is my name.
Yeah.
They call me Kevin.
Yeah.
Because that's my name.
Roll call. Shibuya. Yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call. Shibuya. Yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.